Blog Talk Radio.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is Matt Chat live on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Ace Diamond. It is Tuesday night, and it is 10 o'clock on the East Coast. And we are live. And if you just watched SmackDown Live, you saw the absolute annihilation of the SmackDown roster by the Raw roster, including the annihilation of the SmackDown captain and commissioner, Shane McMahon, by the Shield. And Raw captain and general manager Kurt Angle. And what I can only describe as an absolutely beautiful retaliation for the SmackDown invasion of Raw a few weeks ago. I won't call it under siege because I think that's stupid. It was an invasion. And I think this was a perfect retaliation by the Raw roster. That being said, tonight's SmackDown kind of changed the landscape of Survivor Series a little bit, as Charlotte Flair defeated Natalya and will now go on to face Alexa Bliss in the women's championship versus women's champion match at Survivor Series. To me, which I'm gonna complain a little bit right now, because to me, the way they had originally booked the two matches, the champion versus champion matches at Survivor Series, was stupid. It was beyond stupid at the time. The original thing had almost all heel versus heel matches, except for the Raw Tag Team Champions versus the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, which was originally the Shield versus, or was originally, yeah, two members of the Shield, Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins, versus the Usos. That's great. That would have been a good match. Now we're getting SmackDown Live Tag Team Champions, the Usos, versus Raw Tag Team Champions, The Bar, Sheamus and Cesaro, heel versus heel. Not sure why. United States Champion versus Intercontinental Champion, Baron Corbin versus The Miz. Again, heel versus heel. Not sure why. Universal Champion versus WWE Champion, Brock Lesnar versus AJ Styles, Part-Timer versus Super Babyface. That's a good match to have, especially since Brock Lesnar is a heel and he's a part-timer anyway. AJ Styles should win that match. Although, really, he shouldn't because of the size difference. But if he does, then I think Brock Lesnar's next opponent will probably be Finn Balor. And I think Balor might actually take the title from Lesnar. Now on to the traditional 5-on-5 Survivor Series matches. You've got the Raw men versus the SmackDown men. Last night, Jason Jordan was injured and taken off Team Raw and was replaced by WWE COO Triple H. I can only imagine or only speculate is going to lead to a power struggle between Triple H and Kurt Angle. The which will most likely lead to a match possibly at the Royal Rumble, but more than likely at WrestleMania, because Triple H has to get his WrestleMania entrance in for a year. And, I mean, let's face it, the only person to have better entrances than Triple H on a somewhat consistent basis has been The Undertaker, in my opinion. Cena has had some good ones in the past. I think The Undertaker has consistent, good WrestleMania entrances. And we probably won't see The Undertaker at WrestleMania this year, although it's not a definite that he won't be back. But I would seriously doubt it. What we didn't see tonight on SmackDown at the end, when Team Raw was absolutely destroying the SmackDown roster, was the fifth member of Team SmackDown, John Cena, coming down to save the day, which tells me there may be some dissension among the ranks when we get to Survivor Series on Sunday. But enough about Survivor Series for now. I want to talk about, I want to go back in time to another Survivor Series, and that is 20 years ago, Survivor Series 1997. One of the most famous Survivor Series events of all time, the Montreal Screwjob. Now, when the Montreal Screwjob happened, that was kind of the okay, kayfabe is officially dead. We all know that everything is predetermined. Everything is a setup ever. And I'm going to give credit where credit is due. The thought, what I'm about to say is partially taken from a good friend, an acquaintance of mine, a man who has been on the show before, Nick Cutler, who pointed out some very interesting facts. Who really lost anything in the Montreal Screwjob? Nobody. Bret Hart left, started making double what he was making in WWE, in WCW. The Mr. McMahon character was born. Shawn Michaels went on to be an even bigger superstar than he already was. And I believe he even started making more money. I won't say that Raw started winning in the ratings, because I believe that didn't happen for another few months when Mick Foley won the WWE Championship on Monday Night Raw, which, by the way, aired on my birthday, which I find utterly hilarious. But really, nobody lost anything in that whole situation. So what if it was a work? It was I mean it if it was a work, it was brilliantly done, because everybody bought it. Everybody believed every minute of it. And really, nobody lost anything from it. So what if the Montreal Screwjob, what everybody thinks is one of the biggest, most obvious shoots in professional wrestling history, was in fact one of the greatest works of all time? Because if it was a work, it was a masterpiece. But anyway, I want to talk about TakeOver again. This Saturday night, the night before Survivor Series in Houston, Texas, NXT TakeOver War Games. And you've got the War Games match, which I discussed ad nauseum last week. So I won't get into that match much, except for saying I think the team of the Authors of Pain and Roderick Strong, while it is a very weird triumvirate of talent, I think they have the advantage. Although the Authors of Pain and Roderick Strong have never teamed before, and all three members of Sanity and all three members of the Undisputed Era have teamed before, I actually think the Authors of Pain and Roderick Strong have the advantage, because nobody knows how to game plan for them. And I think that gives them a distinct advantage. The NXT Championship match, one of the most underwhelming NXT Championship matches that I can think of. Drew McIntyre defending against Andrade Cien Almas. I like Drew McIntyre, but honestly, the thing that I am most looking forward to in that match is Zelina Vega, a.k.a. Dia Trinidad, who I was blown away to find out is only 26 years old. Considering how long she's been around, I honestly thought she was a little bit older than that. I thought she was at least 30. But to find out that she is only 26 years old blew my mind when I found it out. A match that I was looking forward to, and I talked about it last week on this show, only to find out later that it's not even going to be part of the telecast of TakeOver. It's going to be for the live audience only, is Pete Dunne defending the WWE UK Championship against Johnny Gargano. Johnny Gargano and Pete Dunne are two of the best wrestlers in WWE right now. Obviously, with Pete Dunne being the United Kingdom champion, it's a great, I mean, it should be an outstanding match. And to not air it on, the broadcast of TakeOver, to me, is a mistake. I honestly couldn't tell you. Oh, the other match that everybody's talking about is the Fatal 4-Way women's match for the vacant WWE NXT Women's Championship. You've got Kairi Sane, who won the Mae Young Classic. You've got Ember Moon, who has been in quite a number of championship matches. You've got one half of the iconic duo, and honestly, I don't remember which one it is. They both look alike to me, so it really doesn't matter which one it is. And you've got Nikki Cross. Personally, I think either Nikki Cross or Ember Moon will win because they've both been in championship matches before. They are used to the pressure. And I think either one of them will. The member of the iconic duo has been in a championship match before, maybe two. But I believe Kairi Sane, to me, should absolutely not stand a chance in that match. There's too much pressure. She's too green. The main thing she has going for her is her top rope elbow, which is actually a very devastating move, or at least it looks like a very devastating move. And considering how many top women she took out of the tournament with it, I would call it a very devastating move. The smart money would be on Ember Moon. She's athletic. Not that the other three aren't. She's been there before more than the other three. she faced Asuka, I don't know how many times for the title. Never could quite grab the brass ring. I think it's her time. I think she will be more focused, more prepared than anybody else. So I think it's Ember Moon's time. I really do. Those are the only matches I can think of for TakeOver, and really that to me is a stacked card. I'm sure there are more matches, but like I said, they are, of course, there's the War Games match, which will probably, I would guess, will take over, no pun intended there, take over half the pay-per-view, just because of the rules of the match. So, really think that it's going to be I think it's going to be a great show. For once, I don't think it's going to be better than the main roster pay-per-view. I actually think Survivor Series is going to deliver the goods this time, and it's going to outshine TakeOver. Those are just my opinions, my thoughts. Oh, and I do want to say yesterday was the 12th anniversary of the death of Eddie Guerrero, who was loved by many fans, current professional wrestlers. I know Sasha Banks was a huge Eddie Guerrero fan. I believe Bayley was a huge Eddie Guerrero fan. Eddie Guerrero was one of the all-time greats, and it sucks that he had to die so young, in the prime of his career, really, in the prime of his life, for sure. And I know I thoroughly enjoyed Eddie Guerrero. Every time he pulled the chair spot, I popped. Every time he hit the mat with the chair and tossed it to his opponent, I thought it was brilliant. That was one of the most brilliant spots in professional wrestling at the time. Nobody will ever I don't think anybody will ever match Eddie Guerrero as far as charisma and ability to connect with a crowd goes. He was one of a kind, and I really don't think you're ever going to find another person like Eddie Guerrero ever again, male or female. That's no disrespect meant to anybody, but all the respect in the world meant toward Eddie Guerrero, because he earned it. He absolutely earned every bit of respect that he got. And he had, during the era that he was in WWE, he was the guy. He was the man. It was honestly right after he passed that John Cena really became the guy. Excuse me. Because at the time, Eddie Guerrero was, he was the guy. And really, I don't even know what else to say about it. He was just the guy. But I am about out of time. So I want to say join us next week when our guest, when I will be joined by NWF ring announcer Miss Callie. And our guest, who she will be interviewing, will be NWF CEO Nate Kelly to talk about this year's NWF anniversary show, which is a week from this coming Saturday at the UAW Hall on Sims Road in Fairfield, Ohio. Get your tickets at Hooterville Sports Cards and the BP station on Main Street in Hamilton. That's Hooterville Sports Cards in Fairfield, Ohio, on Pleasant Avenue. And the BP station on Main Street in Hamilton. And so, and make sure you get your tickets fast because I hear they are selling out very, very quickly. This is a show you do not want to miss. Your three Hall of Fame inductees will be Cindy, Peaches, and Jason Cross. And there will be a couple of special appearances by a couple of other NWF legends. I'm not going to give anything away. You've got to come to the show. I may be there, I may not, we'll see. But join us next week when we talk to Nate Kelly. Ladies and gentlemen, have a good night. I'll see you at the shows. Good night, everybody.